That was quite a treat. They were really fine.
They were really fine musicians. Good singers.
But we're not here really to talk about it. One thing, you're here with the A La Ringo Starr promotion and picture.
A La Ringo Starr?
Yeah, well, on his...
RCA had an album out called The Rise and Fall of Ziggy Stardust, which was a David Bowie album. I quickly changed the title to The Higher the Climb, The Harder They Fall.
We don't want the David Bowie, huh?
We don't want the David Bowie?
Since you were saying you're changing the
name. Why does my hair look like David Bowie?
It has right now it has.
Well, I just woke up not too long ago, so. Does it?
Rod Stewart, David Bowie, Ron Wood. But still, they're all great people.
Yeah, well, I'm not trying to look like my favorite rock and roll star from David Bowie's not him anyway.
He doesn't know
who
if
is
he's black or white.
Favorite rock and roll star? That's really a terrible question. I couldn't possibly.
I wouldn't have asked it if you hadn't led me into it. You realize
who is my favorite rock and roll star? Well, I'm just.
Who do you listen to? I mean, like...
I listen to lots of books. No one really in particular.
Any direction? I mean, do you have a...
Well, I was, like, most influenced by Southern California music.
Yeah.
So, I listen to anybody. It's usually old albums.
How do you get it, Bruce? And
he just called me up. He called me up and found out I was going in the studio and said... I'd known him around, Not real well, but known him.
I need a job.
I don't think it was that, but he was just working.
You're not at work, I'm not.
No, he's not
hurting.
He just called me up and said, listen, you shouldn't go in alone. And let me fall by. And I said, okay, I don't want to sign any contracts with you, I said, they signed me to produce myself. And at this point, that's what's happening until something else happens.
Now that in itself is quite a departure for you.
Yeah, right.
You
well,
really have your
it
own
is, control. But it's not... I mean, I was actually, even though none of the stuff was really released, one album was released, I don't know if it was released here, but that I produced. And I've been sort of doing some things here and there. I like recording as somebody else. I like to record anonymously, almost like an alter ego kind of situation. And I plan on going back and doing some more of that. At any rate, they wanted me to produce myself. He came in and I had most of the tunes. I had all but, I think, two of the songs when he came in. And I think I had all but one, which is the song that he gave me and he wrote on the album. And I thought he did just a splendid job.
Was he the only other writer? Is the rest all your material?
A couple of the writers. I wrote, I think, half of them. Five or six of them. I think mine. Ned Doheny wrote the single. Get It Off Alone.
We're playing that. I'm from KUHF. It's the University of Houston Public Radio. We're playing that.
All right. That's a good record. I like that record. I like the song. He does it, actually, I think, better than I do, though.
I haven't heard Johnny Rivers did it.
He did?
About a year ago in Atlantic. And it's fairly decent. Yours, I think, is, it's good. I haven't heard Donnie's version.
He's never cut it. He plays it a lot.
That's why I haven't.
Sits around. He's never cut the record. Actually, I think he's the only guy, other person that has cut it. Johnny Rivers. Somebody else did cut it, and they released it as a B-side, and it was, I think his name is, he's on RCA, something. I want to say Jan Michael Vincent, but it's one of those triple names. I don't know what the guy's name
is. Stephen Michael Schwartz,
that's
it. I've got it.
That's
yeah,
it.
That's right.
He cut it too, and I thought he made a terrible record.
I like the sound on it. Your vocals kind of in the middle. It's kind of fugitive kind of phase.
Yeah, I did. I made a little sweat kind of too. In the bridge also. I put a delta T on it. Give it sort of that space sound.
You did the strings on that too, didn't you?
Yeah, it's... I've always had
a
desire to do that, yeah. I just never really had the guts to do it because I never thought I write licks and things like that. I don't know how to write string parts. So I just sat down with John Hobbs, who's a piano player, played him a couple of licks. He wrote the notes. Yeah, it's kind of R&B. That's the kind of strings I could write.
Yeah.
Kind of like licks, like guitar licks. Strings are always used as pads, and I like to hear them. Really good arrangers can make them equally as important on a record. I think the most important thing is that if it's an artist, it's a singer, whoever that featured artist is, and that the vocal will be there.
Yeah.
You know, you hear the words, you understand what's going on. That song's got is so wordy that it's real difficult for people to understand what's that mean. Yeah. I don't know. At any rate, I think it's a good record. I think the strings on it are good. I started with a rhythm track of about four or five people, and I started adding things in on that record. Most of the rest of the things, basically, are not too many overdubs. They're all cut along.
Yeah.
That record was something I did. And also, I write the songs and do the same thing you did. Like an evening, it took about 5 hours to do the background vocals.
You know, last time, you were saying, I'm not doing what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not doing what I want to
That's
do.
That's true, I wasn't.
And now you think you are? You feel like you are?
Mm-hmm.
This is just a promotional tour for
right.
But are you going to get back on the road?
No.
I'm not going to do it. It's going to be a recording artist.
Well, I won't say I'll never do it. It's
not
just
for a while.
Yeah, not for a while.
Does the England thing have anything to do with it?
No, a little bit. More than that, I've made up my mind 95%. I've made up my mind completely, really. You know, it just was another reason for me not to. And if I went back and did it now, the same people would come and listen. Or not to listen, but to do whatever. And it would not be... You know, you go out and you do that, and you do those old songs. I couldn't go out and do those old songs, you know, because they weren't me. They weren't representing me. I just can't make that kind of compromise. I'd have to go out and do new material.
Yeah.
And material they haven't heard.
Yeah.
So they come and listen, and I'd be breaking in a new album. No one's heard any of the songs. It wouldn't be successful.
You'd be there in denim instead of your white album.
No,
probably.
Telephone?
Yeah.
Hang on 1 second. No, I mean, that's not the point. It wouldn't be what I would look like so much. I mean, I...
Well, there's even a feel, though, in what you wear, it seems like.
Yeah,
it,
I mean, it certainly wouldn't be what I used to wear, but I think that stage is stage, and, you know, I can wear this and I can feel comfortable. And I'd certainly want to feel comfortable there too, but hang on. I think stage is something that should be that, you know. I mean, it is supposed to be bigger than life a little bit. Okay. It is.
I wanted to ask you, how did that thing with Phil Austin come about on the album?
Well, I left it for last. It's something that I needed in the context of the story. To go from one thing to another, and I called Phil a few days before we went in and did it, and told him what I wanted to do, and told him, explained the concept of the album to him, and what it was. I said, "Dad, why don't you just come by late on Friday night when I'll be finishing up?" And I finished. We did some backing vocals and things. Phil came up, and it must have been 2 in the morning. I've been working since 12.
Mm-hmm.
So 14 hours worth, I was just delirious.
Mm-hmm.
And we went in the other studio, and I got real drunk. We wrote down specific things, like there are a couple of specific lines in that he had on a piece of paper, and a couple that I had given him, a couple of ideas that he'd gotten. We just talked about what it should be, how long it should be, what I wanted, all the things specifically I wanted to get across, and we did it in one take.
The notes are good, liner notes. I mean, it, you know, did you say that something to that effect in the notes about happening late? I don't know, it just sounds familiar.
Happening late?
Or something.
I was delirious.
Yeah.
By the time I got into doing it, I was literally lying down on the floor of Studio A at RCA. The microphone
right,
broken. Yeah, with a bottle of cheap wine, 79 cent wine.
This is what I was telling him when we were out about a bit about Austin, the paper, and how this hole in the paper and Die Itty.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's something like what is the concept? What was the concept of the album? The way I read it is something about loosely the rise and fall of the rock stars. That basically is.
Of anybody who lives. I lived, I think, what the personification of the American dream is today. You know, I mean, everybody, small town boy, lower middle class, becoming the focal point of all that teenage, adolescent, emotional.
Hyperdrive.
All that energy and being in something that, being caught up in it so much that you're almost smothered by it, you know, that you cut off all personal relationships, and it really is the fact that you lose yourself, you know. Relationships mostly, and you lose touch with who you are. And it, emotionally, it was more like a dream, you know, on my part. I mean, a lot of it parallels with my life. I mean, there are things in there subtly that nobody else is going to know about other than me, you know, or experiences that I went through. I mean, people are saying to me, I'm getting, you know, a variety of reactions to it. Some are saying, well, got one yesterday. A little pessimistic, isn't it? Like, I'm looking forward to falling. Or, I never caught the fall. Or, are you anticipating? Are you anticipating that? Or, I got that it was real. One girl in Boston was really an intellectual. I mean, was working on being an intellectual, sitting there, you know, with her glasses in her outfit, saying, "Found it to be a very bitter album." I mean, bitter, bitter. Found me very bitter, and I said.
And she enunciated that.
Yes,
very clear,
that's exactly what she said. Bitter. And I said, bitter, bitter, batter. Risen, you know. I broke into my Broadway review, and I said, you know, listen, it's all your interpretation. I said, I'm glad it moved you. I'm glad that, even if it was negatively, I'm glad it moved you. I'm glad it got you to there. You know, I mean, she was very moved by it. I could tell she was, you know, it sounds like you had an awful affair. It sounds like, you know, you hate all this. You know, anyway, it was. Over-analyzing something, you know, and then getting into something, analyzing every little bit, you know. I mean, I just went and did it. That's all. It's an LP. It's going to go down in history as an LP. That's all. It's not worth getting yourself upset about. It's not worth, you know, it's not worth spending that much time about it. I mean, if you dig it, if it gets you high, great. It does it for you. I mean, it did it for me doing it. I loved doing it. I had fun. I played with a lot of my friends, a lot of people I liked playing with. People I always wanted to play with, and it was great.
It was quite a who's who of people behind you.
Yeah, but not really the usual LA clique of players, you know? I mean, there's...
No, there's no Jim Keltner. No.
Jim's on it. Jim's on it.
Is he?
He's on it.
Oh,
he's on it as a studio player, as opposed to...
well, then it almost was. If you did Hal Blaine, it was...
No, Hal Blaine was not. It's not that kind of a clique album.
Larry Hector.
Larry's not on it either.
No.
Bozeman was
the guy. It has, I think that it has really some fine moments on it, and I think there are moments I'm going to listen to years from now and still like it, you know, and that's important for me. It's an album that I think is the first one that musically is representative of me, where I was at the time I made the album. I'm not there now. I needed to say something about what that was I just went through, you know. If I was going to make records again, and I made that decision that I wanted to, and I accepted that responsibility, you know, I'm going to make records again. So, it's difficult to explain in short. No, I haven't drank. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. How about acting? You going to... back into that in any form or another? Anything that works?
I'm not going to work. I may act again, but I don't want to just work. I don't need to do that. I need the money. And actors that work to work. You can just go and act if you want to act in a workshop or something like that, if you really just look at it.
Anybody send you any scripts to you?
Oh, all the time. I get books, scripts. Most of it, to be honest with you, there's a real sea of mediocrity out there. Yeah, I mean... Well, look at the television. Look at the films that you see. I mean, can you believe some of the films they make? They put $1 million, $2 million into that. I mean, I can't believe it.
And now the made-for-television films has really taken over, too. The two new things of television have been the rock concert, midnight-type shows,
mm-hmm.
and then the made-for-television.
Successful.
They're not that successful,
mm-hmm.
you say?
Mm-hmm.
They were, I guess, at the
They
first.
Were at the beginning. They were at the beginning.
Special's trying to go to MOR to catch the Carson crowd now.
That's right.
The Helen Reddy leftovers.
Well, they're not that successful. Contrary to what you may have been hyped on, and I was too in the beginning, I thought they were. Their ratings.
Did you ever do any of those?
Never. I have been lying low for a time. I haven't worked at all other than this album. I did nothing for about a year and a half. I stopped touring. I didn't do any photos. I didn't do any interviews. I didn't do any recording. I didn't do any television. I didn't do any films.
Why?
I needed time to reevaluate what I wanted to do. I needed time to just think about whether it was worth investing my energies and my time in trying to make another record. I wanted to, but I needed support. I needed support from a record company that saw me as something else other than what I was. And that's why I signed with RCA.
Well, didn't during that time of thinking you think, I'm awfully young to need this much time to evaluate what's going on? Of course, you'd had a lot past time.
You know, I mean, it's not a question of chronologically saying, well, I'm only 25, so. I mean, a lot went down in the last 5 years, and I lost touch with a lot of friends, a lot of people. I lost touch with myself, you know? And, I needed that much time. I just needed to take it. Before I went on my last tour, I said, a lot of people said, oh, he's retiring. I said, I'm going to stop working for a while. I don't know where I want to go, but I just know I don't want to be here anymore. The only way to do that is to stop doing everything, and to just reevaluate your life, you know, as a human being, as an artist.
How and where did you spend most of your time?
It's still helps.
Oh. No.
You
hear me call again? Hello? Hey. Well, I just ripped myself. I think I'm like a fat. Yeah, aren't I though?
What?
Same old wit, you know? Porque una más un postcard? I figured as much. I'll bet it was. I'll bet it was. It was real fun. Well, listen, we're doing the shrimp shuffle here in Houston. Seems to be... yeah, Texas is a big place. Seems good. Yeah, Paul, is that here?
Tell them to call Dries and take care of it.
Call Dries and take care of it. And take care of it, yeah. He doesn't know what you're talking about.
Dennis.
I guess we are.
Help us.
Oh, hi.
How you doing?
Okay.
I'm just checking.
Well, I'm in the middle of doing a little interview or two. I guess that's what we would call it. Listen, it's always a pleasure to hear your voice from far away. Could you? Yeah, just a couple of your late evening jokes, a little humor. The road needs a little humor every now and then. How are things in sunny, beautiful California? Yeah. I bet RCA is a real chuckle at this time, isn't it? Como esta Bruce Johnston? yeah, I'll bet they are. Are they, you know, you and I ought to make rock and roll records. I think I'll be back in about a week or so. And it should take me another week to thaw out. And after that... no, seriously, I got a couple of songs that I want you to hear. Maybe you'd like to record them on your next album. Maybe you'd like... Breaking Down Again to Joe Cocker? No, I think you should. He is? Okay, we'll play it for him. Yeah. Out of sight. Okay, well, I remember. If you want to wait, I'll be out there in a week. Okay. I also got a couple of tunes that I got unfinished that maybe you want to sit down and we'll finish it. You have enough? Great. Well, all right. You did. TX? Huh, fine. A used one. A new one or a used one? A new one. Sprung for it, eh? Big of you, lad. Yeah, well, I figured out what was wrong with my Sony. I got it fixed. There was a little wire that was crossed. Wouldn't you know? And, my house, of course, will be available for demos at any time, preferably after 2 a.m. And, we should do it. I'm thinking about going to Wales. There's this great studio where Ace cut their album called Rockfield Studios. And it is a bitch, man. Oh, it's so... It is really incredible out there. This is... I know.
Yeah.
Called what? I'm Not in Love. Oh, that's... I'm Not in Love? Yeah, that's so great. Yeah. Synthesizers, yeah. Okay, well, listen. Let's, Well, hey, man. Let's start a band, huh? Great. Hey, can I say something, man? Thanks for being my friend. You know, yeah, listen, in a pinch, means a lot. Well, Common Thief looks like the single, you know? Getting a lot of feedback on that. No. Bill Home? Bill who? No, listen, they'll be humming your name in a week or two. Really. I promise. Yeah. Well, I don't either. Let's do it. That's right. Yeah, well... There is no compromise in art. Always remember that. And there is no art in compromise. I'm so fucking profound, man. I mean, I gotta get out of here. Okay. I certainly don't. Okay. What is Bruce going in to cut? He's not. That fucker. I told him to cut it. No. That fucker. You know what? Because Beckley and I worked out an arrangement. Well, Beckley and me, and actually, I think we played it for Brian. Lost it. I mean, he couldn't deal with it. He couldn't handle it. But Ricky Fattar and me and Jerry sat around and got an arrangement on it. And he played it for Carl, and Carl really liked it. He said, Jesus, man, you know. It would be real low. He sure does. He's really a good player, too. I'm gonna call him. Real good. He's real. He sings his ass off. He wrote Common Thief on my album. It's real funky. You know, he writes real funky, too. He's gonna take that, the song that we wrote together and take it over to Joe Cocker. He's looking for some songs and play it for him.
Cocker's looking for songs and wine, not necessarily in that order.
Definitely not that order. Anyway. He's good. He's gonna play my next album too. I like playing with him. He's a good guy. He really cares.
What's in the future? You looking, you know, gonna do another album?
I'm looking to get a group sort of together, but kind of like a unit, you know. So to parallel it with somebody would be kind of unfair, but kind of like what Rod Stewart and the Faces had, where he was part of the group, but he was also a solo artist, you know. I'd like to get like a basic nucleus. Not make those kind of records, the same kind of records, but have that kind of a situation where everybody in the group can step out and make their own records, and everybody in the group can be part of that group and will be contributing to the group, you know? I got some friends that are into doing that, I think. I'm gonna go out and feel it out. I haven't been in LA in so long, it's ridiculous, you know? I mean, I feel like I'm gonna be visiting there too.
You mentioned Sunshine. Is that a club or a studio?
Sundance.
Sundance.
It's a funky old cowboy bar where I went out
of the way where you wouldn't be seen.
That's exactly it. Go out and play. And I went out and did it one night. Me and Bill was playing out there, yeah. A couple of guys got real drunk. They were playing out there.
The Tubes did that night. Tommy, how did you hear about that?
No, the Tubes?
They're from Frisco. They just got a new A&M album. They dressed up as a cowboy band. Somebody Heifer in the, you know, cowboy band.
You
played have? Played at the Palomino, you know, as a different band, you know?
That's
and
great.
They won the Hoot Night, whatever they have, like, you know, food. It was supposed to try to do it, you know,
David, I looked at this girl like who was in my class at college. I can't believe it.
And she's here?
She's beautiful.
Well, bring her in. Where is she?
And we're in the same class.
Where is she?
Anybody who went to Sarah Lawrence was okay.
Is that all right with you?
But wait, I have something else to
any
tell
friend
you.
Of yours?
I got
yes.
something else to tell you.
Okay. Well, good. Good for him. Tell him I'm glad he's here and give him a drink and tell him to sit down. You know, what are you saying to me?
Well, he has to go to something else later. So whenever he gets through,
well,
you can talk to
him. I can talk with him. I can talk with him anytime. Just whenever he feels like coming in.
Sure, that's something.
Can I preempt you right now?
Oh, for sure.
Preempt?
Do you mind if I sit in one?
Yeah,
I'll talk to
you.
Anybody
who knows Larry Neffel's name can't be
okay.
I
mean,
Jim, Blaine, Hal
Gordon.
Hal Gordon, Jim Gordon, yes, Jim.
Hal. He's a good guy, a real good player.
Gordon?
Oh,
Gordon has such a fine history of sessions.
Yeah, I mean, he's really fine.
Did you, you know, one thing you played
me out.
Around. Larry, they're done. They just finished. Larry,
sit down.
Please.
Paul
Faithful?
What? Huh?
Okay, well, I'm
going to... What's...
He wants to play exclusive, so...
Oh, okay.
He seems to
think
he can
play... I've known Bob for years, and he's never snubbed me like that before. I kind of...
That's a drag.
He forgot
I'm
in the few earlier. He never showed
up. Is that right?
Yeah.
Well,
then. Sit
down. Yeah, sit down and relax. If you want to talk about anything else, feel free, you know?
You're
sitting there smoking like a... I was a little uptight. I couldn't believe it.
I've completely lost it.
Well,
just
relax. Have another drink. Think about it.
Have you still been hawked a bit by the Teeny Mags, Gloria Stavers, and all this? You know,
well, she's no longer involved.
She's not?
No. Funnily enough, I haven't seen her or spoken to her. About 2 years ago, I stopped. I called them all up and said, look, I want you to know that... Sure it is. Sling him out. about 2 years ago, I called her and a number of people out and said, look, for a long time, you've all made a lot of money on me, and I've cooperated with you, probably to a lesser degree than most people did, because I really didn't. And they'd ask me a question, I wouldn't give them an answer they wanted. I'd give them an answer that I felt was honest, and I'd answer them, and they'd end up writing something that they wanted to.
That they thought the kids wanted to hear.
Exactly.
In other words,
I said, no, exactly. That's exactly what ended up happening. I couldn't say anything. What are you doing here? I'm here to get laid. They'd write, he's here because he wants to meet his...
He likes girls with blue eyes.
Right, that's exactly what it ended up being. What was that?
Good time. That's possible.
What was that?
Well, he wanted to talk to you alone.
Really? I mean, I said hello to him and turned around and walked out. He said, no, that's all right.
I had no chance to introduce you.
Well, when someone says hello to you, you say hello. I mean, even if you don't get introduced.
He found it. I mean, yeah.
Well, I said it a couple of times. I mean, that was a strange display of neuroses. You know? I don't know the guy, but... Why doesn't he come in and meet everybody, sit down and I mean, what, is he not going to talk to these guys because they happen to be in the same field doing the same thing? I mean, yeah.
So as to smooth things over, though, I think I'm gonna bow out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm not saying that you guys shouldn't do that. Or I mean, if he wants to do that, we'll do it. The point is, I mean, he couldn't sit down and say, "Well, I'd like to do it alone." And then he had to go in the other room. What is that?
He obviously has some personal enmity with you.
Is that
I'll
right?
Put it on the line. Let me put it on the line.
Are you serious?
That God don't want you.
Bob?
And he said that he had a situation before that didn't work out. Okay?
Bob said that?
So, it has nothing to do with you,
go
David.
Go on in there and work it out with him.
It has, so you work it out, but he's willing to wait for you, David, and he wants to talk to you.
Fine. Have him come on in there. All
right. So, Larry, you got to go.
Yeah, I am.
You know, he's talked to David, I would prefer it.
Yeah.
You have the, you know,
yeah.
Whatever conversation.
Yeah, I just could have said that anyway.
You know.
So give me an opportunity to do that.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay. See all the things you find out?
Yeah, well, cool. I'm going to need a strong one, but I'm going to get it outside.
See all the things you find out that you didn't know before?
Yeah, he was so nice. Two nights ago, he was chumming around and trading lines about this, that, and the other. And, well, thank you.
I'll
probably talk to you after all this.
Can I ask a favor?
Sure.
Can I get a couple IDs for the station?
Yeah,
a couple one-liners things. I've written down one.
Okay, let me see if I can read it. So long as it doesn't... Hi, I'm Phil Oakes. you're tuned into the Afternoon Easy Contemporary Sounds.
Sorry, buddy. Sorry.
On KUHF with
right.
Brad Davis.
That's not my real name. Case is my real name. I just use it for that.
Okay, if we could just keep it down.
What did Bill have? Oh.
Can we just, keep it down for a second? And we'll, or maybe close that door so I can do this without the entire party getting in. Rolling?
I hope.
Okay. Hi, tuners. I'm David Cassidy, and you're tuned into the Afternoon Easy Contemporary Sounds of KUHF with Brad Davis. Yeah. Hi, this is David Cassidy, and here's my latest single, Get It Up for Love. On KUHF with Brad Davis.